Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
If you are one of the 11 finalists for our Kid Nation MTV Movie Award Instagram challenge that we've been doing all week, we are going to announce the winner of that in about an hour. So that'll be pretty fun. You're going to get to go to the MTV Movie Awards.
Yep. Two tickets to the show, two round trip airline tickets, two nights hotel.
Two.
So start thinking about who you're going to take, right?
Right.
Cool.
Some of the photos are funny.
And the runners-up get prizes, too. Not that prize, but they get prizes.
Are you sure about that?
What do they get, Al?
It says 10 runner-up prizes right there.
Dang right. We don't know what they are yet, but you'll get one.
It might just be some Girl Scout
cookies. It may be.
We have a lot of those around here.
Oh, don't.
No,
we don't.
No, I don't know. I can't find them.
The Girl Scout.
No, they're all gone. No, I ordered some.
There's two boxes over here that I dived into yesterday.
Yeah. Where'd you get them?
Okay.
Well, all you right. bought them, and they've just been sitting here.
Oh, he's talking about these. You're talking about these. She's talking about these. We opened these on the show.
Oh, okay, cool.
But you're
what are you talking about?
Well, when I got the Girl Scout cookies delivered, remember, here's the origin. I bought $1,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies, had a contest. This girl wins. She comes to the show, delivers the boxes, puts them on the red table back there.
I never saw them again.
Yeah. I went back there, and there were 10 boxes. Six of them were open, and about half the cookies in those, about half the boxes in those six big crates were gone. And
you have no idea where they went?
So I walked around. I'm like, guys, did anybody say that those were free cookies there? I mean, because they're not. So and nobody caught, not one person said they took a box of Girl Scouts.
That box has been sitting there, and I opened them yesterday.
Not only are we surrounded by thieves, but we're also surrounded by liars.
Well, here's the thing, kid. That red table
means free.
That's the food table.
That's the problem.
So you can't really be angry because people assume when stuff's on the red table, that's community property.
Uh huh.
She's got a point.
Yeah. It's true.
So it's just an unfortunate accident.
That table is.
Yeah. Somebody should have put those in your office, and then nobody would have taken them.
So if I accidentally left my wallet on there.
Kid, that's not the same
food.
Theory.
Food,
come
that's
on.
The food table. You put food there, and
if it's food community. And it's there, anybody can have it.
That's assumed.
Don't put a hot grill on
the
table.
But I didn't put it there.
Then you should blame the person who put it there.
What if I find something of yours and move it to that table? Can I then have
it? If it's edible, yes.
Okay. Anything you have edible, I can...
That's also the giveaway table. Remember, I always put up a sign. Yeah. Take what you want or I'm giving it to poor people.
Yeah.
And that's the table.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you just give it to poor people?
Because some...
Because we have poor people
there's
here.
There's some really nice stuff here that's been lying around the office for decades, including one. I'm about to put a really cool thing I found lying around the office. It's a slow cooker cookbook. Apparently, nobody wants it, so I'm going to put it on the free grab table.
No, you're not.
I don't know if anyone's even going to take that.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Even though the pot roast I made last night was ridiculous. You want to hear all about it?
No.
Okay, no.
All right, fine.
Hey, that sounds like Caribbean music.
Kid Craddock in the Morning is selling trips to Mexico. Would you like to buy an all-inclusive trip to Mexico right now and get change back from your five?
Nice.
You can't even do that in the drive-thru.
Oh, you're going back down today, huh?
Give us a call at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
Are we playing the same game as yesterday?
I would really love to bring back America's favorite new game, which costs more. Which is cheaper. Thank you. But I don't know. If I had to critique my own performance yesterday, I would say I didn't do that great with that game yesterday. And the tweets and Facebook messages I got were split right down the middle, 50-50, between I can't even stand it, I'm laughing my butt off so hard at how bad this is, to you should never be allowed to open a microphone on the radio again.
Pretty even split there, huh?
Yeah, one or the other. Yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
It was bad, but it was good.
it was funny bad.
But you can't. This is in your own words.
Caller number 17 and 19.
But you always said, what was it, the thing, failure, why does failure have to be funny? Why can't we be good and funny?
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that, Kelly.
But you would have to admit that I do try on most occasions to be good rather than lame.
That's true.
I don't do things here and go, well, that's not good, but I'll play it and they'll laugh at me.
But the thing was,
I'm not the one that does that.
The game was not meant to be funny at all.
No, it wasn't at all.
It was meant to give away a trip.
Hilarity could ensue, but it wasn't an intentionally funny.
In my own defense, I would say the body is also not meant to live without sleep. So,
we manage.
So those two came together.
Yes.
And I kind of messed up the game yesterday.
It's all good in the hood.
I'm going to redeem myself today with Which is cheaper?
No way.
Why not?
You gonna play it again?
Did you not listen yesterday? Mm. We were all over the place, but I would like to play again.
You don't want to play Which is Cheaper
again?
Did
you work out the rules this time?
No.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Do you have enough questions?
No, I only have one.
My favorite was your tie-breaking thing.
Yeah, pick a number.
You could not understand.
I know.
That
like,
there was no tie.
Kid, no, they're not even tied. They're not even tied.
It was not a tie-breaker. It was more of I ran out of questions.
I know.
I mean, what would Alex Trebek do? If all the questions on the board are gone and they still got 20 minutes of show left.
I think the game would just be over.
Yeah. Maybe I should have just done
that. Yeah.
Well, the game's over. I'm out of questions. In this case, the game would be over after one question because I only have one. Actually, I don't have a question. I just have one item. On the Which is Cheaper, I just have the one item. Hmm. So I don't even have the Which is Cheaper.
Okay.
So I'm not sure we can play that.
Is it really cheap?
So what I'm going to do
is. So this is like Price is Right.
Guess the price.
Whoever gets closest.
No, I'm going to let. No, we're going to do something completely different. I'm going to let one volunteer on the show lay out for a while. You don't have to participate in what we're talking about next.
Like in the sun?
No. Just back off the show for a minute because you're going to be busy thinking about how we are going to choose the person who gets to buy this trip. Who would like that responsibility?
Kelly does.
No, I purposely avoided eye contact.
But you're great at
JC.
You're great at critiquing how other people do it. Why not?
No, I didn't critique.
Why not do your own?
I didn't critique. I was laughing with everybody else.
You told me it was terrible.
I didn't say that.
I got it.
I'd like you to have a chance to be terrible.
I don't have. You got questions in your butt? You gonna pull out?
Let me look.
Yeah. So who would like to volunteer for that?
Listeners,
it would have been nice if you'd given us some warning.
Pay very close attention to this. This is important. This will tell you everything you need to know right here. Who would like to volunteer for this?
Al just did.
Al did.
I could think of something.
Al did.
Yeah, I could think of something.
Al did.
Don't you criticize him.
You guys knew if you laid out long enough, Al would have to
volunteer. Don't you criticize him. He volunteered. You should praise him.
Hang out long enough. Gosh, that was 5 seconds. That was a long time before Al talked.
You guys, I asked 3 times who wants to volunteer.
Okay, you should have said who besides Big Al wants to volunteer if that was your intent.
Who besides Big Al wants to volunteer?
Kelly.
Why? You should have to do it because you have nominated me twice.
You know what? You should have to do it because you never have to be the bad guy that makes the decision between people. You always just
good point.
Sit back and
wouldn't
compliment.
You want to be thought of as the quick thinking person who came up with a great game to give away a trip?
I have to tell a 15-year-old he can't perform on our show anymore because I misunderstood the Scooter Braun rules.
Well, you shouldn't have already told him he could perform on our show.
Well, I found him and I was excited.
That's a whole different issue.
Okay. I know.
Okay, we're giving a trip to Mexico. You are from Mexico. There you go.
That's true, Jason. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe it should be you.
Hmm.
All right, so JC's going to come up with a game.
Oh, come on, man. You're going to give me...
You can take your headphones off for a minute and put your thinking cap on.
You can leave the room if you need to.
Yeah,
go.
That's fine.
Oh, see, I wanted to take a break so we could go to the bathroom.
He was going to do his best thinking.
That is where I do my best thinking.
You take your time. We're fine. While you're doing that, we'll be playing Who Be Farting, all right?
Dang. Who Be Farting up in here?
But I have a funny story about Who Be Farting.
Nope, sorry.
Oh.
Nope. So... You got it yet?
Really?
Got it yet? Two contestants.
He said he could leave.
Two contestants, and they're playing for the right to buy a trip from us.
Two contestants.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up.
Okay.
JC's coming up with the game. So CBS announcer Doug Gottlieb was covering the NCAA tournament with 4 other commentators.
Are you going to talk about the NCAA tournament? I can't talk. Go ahead. Talk about Doug Gottlieb.
You can talk if you want, as long as you have a game to go in a minute, because right after I do this, we're doing the game.
Ooh,
are you ready?
No.
Okay, then. So Doug Gottlieb is the only white guy on the panel.
Okay.
You got Kenny Smith up there. You got Charles Barkley, a couple other random black dudes. And he's the only white guy on the panel. And so I guess he thought it was a good idea to point that out, that he's the only white guy on the panel.
Greg Anthony, Doug Gottlieb, Kenny the Jet Smith, Sir Charles Barkley. Welcome back to New York, guys. And it's going to be a good night.
Cream rising to the crop. I don't know why you guys asked me. I'm just here to bring diversity.
Cream rising to the crop.
To the crop.
He meant
cream of the crop or cream rising to the top.
Oh, athletes as commentators.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be a good night.
Cream rising to the crop. I don't know why you guys asked me. I'm just here to bring diversity to this set here. Give the kind of white man's perspective on things. Sure. Point guard position. No.
Okay, just checking. It's Marquette, Miami.
What with you guys?
No, I'm just checking, man.
So he makes this joke like, oh, I'll give you the white guy perspective. And nobody
they
really
kind
said
of
anything.
Left
yeah.
him hanging there.
Yeah. Especially after, maybe I'm being oversensitive, but after a crop reference. You know, cream from the crop.
Oh, come
and then
on.
He's going to be the white guy perspective.
But wait a minute. Wasn't there a Gumbel up there? He's kind of white, right?
He's not. What do you mean he's kind of? That's so rude.
Well, he's very light skinned.
I mean, I know he's a yellow helmet, but, you know. I'm telling you,
really?
It's going to be a t-shirt.
All right. Well, so you're not offended by that?
The white guy?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I would say
people are so sensitive, aren't they, Al?
Yes, Casey.
Kid Craddock sticking up for the black man in this situation.
No, but I do want to throw it in front of a black dude and say, is it okay? Now I'm going to do it for the Mexican dude on the show.
Okay.
Representative Congressman Don Young of Alaska said he meant no disrespect when he referred to Mexican Americans as, quote, wetbacks.
Oh,
Congressman.
Now, see, that's different.
He told a local radio station, my dad had a ranch, and we used to have 50 or 60 wetbacks picking tomatoes.
I feel awkward just hearing it.
I know, right?
I think that's over the line.
The equivalent of the other, the bad
word?
There are two things you could call me that would make me
angry
and maybe punch you. And that is one of those ones.
Yeah. What's the other one?
Kid Craddock.
Is there another word that
for Mexicans that we do not appreciate?
Yeah.
It starts with a B.
Yeah, it's what you would find in a burrito.
Right.
A bean?
With
an R on the end, Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly, it's bean.
Don't say it.
Okay?
That's bad?
Why is that bad?
Because it is.
Why is the N word bad?
I don't know why the bean is bad.
If you add a little bit to the end and then you call a Mexican that,
but
we don't like that.
But why is that bad?
Because black people don't like being called the N word.
Because it reduces an entire nationality of people to someone who cooks beans.
Okay. See, I don't know.
And the wetback phrase that he used.
I know why that would be bad, because that means they swam over, right?
That's where it came from.
Is that where it came from?
The Rio Grande.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know why.
That they're illegal. They swam over in the Rio Grande.
I didn't know. Okay.
Well, what if they didn't swim and they, like JC, they just hopped a fence?
Yeah, that's fence back. I mean.
Fence jumping.
Yeah. During a sit-down interview with Ketchikan Public Radio, he said, I used a term that was commonly used during my days growing up on the farm. I know that this term is not used in the same way nowadays, and I meant no disrespect.
Or ever.
I meant no disrespect. See, it used to be okay to say wetback.
No, it's never been okay.
When was that?
Never.
Times are how old is this man now? He should know better as an adult. There are a lot of children who use words not even knowing what they mean.
I just won $20. Robert!
What?
I bet that I would do this story and Kelly would defend him.
I'm not defending him. I'm asking how old he is.
I get 20 bucks. $20. Kelly defended the wetback
guy. Because I grew up in the heart of the South and there were words I didn't know what they meant. And the N-word, I knew what it meant.
And
okay?
did your brain stop working or something?
No, I'm saying as an adult, you know better.
Well, he doesn't.
He was saying as a child, I grew up using those words.
Or like the lady at the fair that we saw years ago and she referenced colored. Was it colored or
Negro?
Negro. She said, you know Willie or Harvey or whatever his name is?
No, she goes, he's a Negro. Al, she's a very nice lady. She goes, she goes, I know a Negro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And she was like 80. I mean, I didn't take offense to it because I knew that was.
And it wasn't,
what they
there
said.
Wasn't a malice in her heart.
You know, yeah, there wasn't. And they said that. I mean, you're saying
Kelly, would it be okay if he said, man, I love wetbacks?
No, I'm saying as an adult, you know better.
Nice about it.
As an adult, you know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like what he was talking about, this 80-year-old woman, and she didn't mean anything by that.
Right. She didn't mean anything by it.
An ABC News report about a Tulsa, Oklahoma dentist.
Now, this is bad. I did not even want to talk about this story.
I haven't heard this.
I'm making sure I have the clip here. I don't see it. There it is. Oh. I got it. Okay. They're going to be sending out 7,000 letters today.
No, just back up, because I got thrown off when you said
Tulsa dentist.
Okay.
Tulsa dentist.
All right.
Because of him, they're sending out 7,000 letters today to let these patients of this dentist know that they might want to go ahead and get tested for hepatitis and HIV, buddy.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Not a good look.
Dr. W. Scott Harrington has been practicing oral surgery for 36 years, most recently in this Tulsa, Oklahoma medical building. But authorities are now concerned he may have exposed thousands of his patients to potentially deadly infections.
The instruments that came out of the autoclave were horrible. I wouldn't let my nephews play with them out in the dirt. I mean, they were horrible. They had rust on them.
Authorities say letters will be sent tomorrow to 7,000 patients.
Oh, my God.
So not only does he have HIV and hepatitis.
No, he doesn't. What I initially thought, too. The doctor himself had exposed patients.
Yeah. But he wasn't cleaning his equipment, his instruments.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be checked. I don't have it in front of me right now, like every year, let's just say. And they haven't been doing it.
So let's say maybe he stuck one of those instruments into the mouth of somebody who
that
has
had
HIV.
It. Yeah. And the equipment just wasn't sterilizing properly. So whatever was left over was being put in everybody's mouths.
Yeah, that's
it's bad.
And HIV can live on surfaces like that?
I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, your blood and gum and things get on the equipment.
I mean, hepatitis is very, very contagious. Yeah.
So at first, when I read the story too, kid, I thought the dentist was sick.
That's what it sounded like.
But the equipment was dirty.
Thanks for not letting me jump to that conclusion.
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
All right. And speaking of dentists, there's a new video. I'm starting to wonder about these videos of drugged up kids in the car on the way home if, you know, we're getting so much entertainment value out of this.
And that basically, people are doing it on
basically
purpose.
It's kids drugged out of their minds. But there's a new one, and it's a girl in Kansas named Abby. And through the entire video of her car ride home, she cannot stop crying because she's convinced that she murdered her wisdom teeth.
Aww.
Here she is.
Abby, your teeth are okay.
But they're dead.
They're
just trying to help me too. And I didn't accept them. I deserve the pain.
No, no.
I took lives.
No, you didn't. A tooth is not life, honey.
I just want to be happy.
You will.
I just wanted to be a part of my body. I said no. You know, I didn't mean it. You can come back if you want.
All right. I presume that she's bringing up something that she said to her mom weeks ago that she's upset about, like, that came back to her, and she's like, I'm so sorry.
She said the teeth come
also,
back if they want.
Also that she killed her wisdom. She murdered her wisdom teeth.
I wonder what some of what she had. Corey had oral surgery like this. I think I told you this story. He had like 10 or 12 teeth pulled at one time.
That's half.
He was born with an excessive amount of teeth.
How many?
Dude, I'm serious.
Like
and that 50? And that wasn't even all. He had to have a second surgery.
Was
to
he
have
like a shark? A more.
He had crocodile teeth, seriously. And so before we could even put braces in his mouth, he had to have a lot of teeth removed.
Well, I had six pulled before braces.
I had four.
He had 10 and then had to go back and get some more. But anyway, they gave him some serious drugs. When he came out of surgery, he was speaking the most articulate Spanish of any person.
Really?
I couldn't even tell you what he said. Oh, but he was good.
Has he taken Spanish?
Oh, yeah. He took Spanish for like
10 years. It all came back to him, right?
It all came back.
I thought maybe he was just making up a language. No, that's everybody I've known has had their wisdom teeth out.
Yeah.
While they're still on the drugs, they cry.
Really?
Yeah, it's so funny.
No, I didn't cry. Because I was actually old when I got mine. Well, old for wisdom teeth removal because I was maybe 23 years old. And I was rapping, making my mom really uncomfortable.
Nice.
She said.
Oh, gangster
Holla.
Rapping.
I was gangster
Holla.
Rapping, swearing, and the male nurse was African-American, and I was rapping, like, fun. Yeah. I was in a good mood in the wheelchair, and I was rapping.
You can't do that, though. Not if there's an African-American in the room.
Well, she was on drugs.
Yeah, but, like, I was at a light. I was at a light, and I got the radio up really loud. It's playing ASAP Rocky, and I'm singing along with the window down. I look over, and there's a brother over there, and he's looking at me, and he's telling me to lower the volume. And I did.
Lower the window.
Yeah, lower the window. And I did. And he goes, turn it down.
Yeah.
And you did, didn't you?
Of course I did.
And yes, sir.
You obliged.
It was a massive violation on my part.
But you can't listen to it?
What?
It's too loud.
Too loud. Too loud for a brother.
That bass thumping at the stoplight. I hate it.
I was fronting. All right, let's get the trip going here.
Oh,
wait.
JC's probably got an idea.
Wait to find out what we're playing.
I can give you two options, actually.
Oh, you got two.
I think that's a give up. I think you need to feel so confident about your idea that you go with it.
Well, I have two confident ideas. One of them you'll hate, and the other one you might appreciate.
Interesting.
The one you'll probably hate is...
Why don't you wait and explain it to the contestants?
Well, I want to ask you first before we play.
All right.
Would you like to play What Has More Protein?
Oh, my God.
There we go. Okay.
Or we could play Screaming Takes Me Away to Where I'm Going.
Screaming Takes me away to where I'm going.
And you're going to Mexico. And in that game, I will choose the contestant that has the best Mexican grito.
Oh, I like that
and
one.
And I will rate it under three categories. One. Your environment that you're in right now, whether if you're in your car or if you're in a public place.
Yeah.
Your pitch of your grito and the length of it.
All right.
Because there's just the right amount of length. Not too long, not too short.
I'm going to say on spec, you've come up with an excellent contest.
So you want to go with Screaming Takes Me Away to Where I'm Going?
I think the Gito, yeah.
Oh, we got a dude playing today.
Hey, Kyle.
Yes?
How you doing, bro?
Doing all right. How are y'all?
Doing great. Is there any way we can get off that speakerphone? That's annoying for us.
I'm not on speakerphone.
Like I said, that's fine.
That's good. Thank you for doing that.
I wouldn't talk too bad to Kyle. Kyle sounds like he could whoop your ass.
Yeah, but he's not here.
He could be here.
Yeah, but I got time to get out of here.
Hey, I'm not that far away, though.
Yeah, okay.
I see that.
Hello, Joy.
Hi.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. Do you know what a grito is? A Mexican grito?
Grito.
Grito. Grito.
Or grito.
Apparently
or guido.
What's a grito? Do you know?
Grito.
No idea.
You don't know? I will perform it for you guys right. So you guys know what it is.
This is going to be the quickest contest ever. You're playing for the right to buy an all-inclusive trip to Mexico for less than $5.
Uh-huh. All right. A Mexican grito is something that you will be doing in Mexico after you take a couple shots of tequila and then the mariachi band starts singing. You get up there.
Okay, prepare.
And you just got to give them one of these, one of those.
That's so good. That's so good.
It is so good.
You must have to be born there to be able to do it that good.
Yeah.
I practice.
I can't do it that.
Give it to him one more time since Joy was unfamiliar.
All right, Joy, all right, here we go. One more time.
You could even extend it if you want like that.
Okay, right. So where are you, Kyle, and where are you, Joy?
How about one at a time? See, Al, when you ask two questions of two people at the same time.
I'm not a radio professional.
Kelly, do you think what Al just did was stupid? And JC, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Wait, whoa. I've already forgot the question because you moved on. All
right. I thought they might answer in order, maybe.
Joy, where physically are you right now? At home, in the car, where are you?
I'm physically sitting outside work in my car.
Oh,
okay.
In the car.
And Kyle, where are you?
I am in my car driving.
Okay. Okay. Excellent.
You know what car means? You can go as loud as you want.
Exactly. Right. So I'm going to give environment for Kyle, I'm going to give him a 4. Uh-huh. Joy, are you willing to step out of your vehicle and do this grito outside of your car in front of your workplace?
There's probably nobody around.
Sure, totally.
Okay, I will give you a 5 then on your environment because I don't know how many people are around.
Pull over.
Well, if Kyle would like to pull over and do it outside of his car as well, I will give him a 5 for his environment. Would
May
you like
I,
to do that,
Kyle?
Can
I make a suggestion? Can we just cut the environment thing so they're both in similar environments and just go with the who's better at it?
All right.
I don't mean to be, you know.
You would get points if you're willing to do it in the middle of a breakfast.
If you're in front of people.
That's right. Nobody's eating. They're both in their freaking
really
car.
Out,
all right, fine. We'll give you guys the same score in environment since you guys are in similar spots.
Now we can just judge it based on the greeting.
Now we're doing pitch and length.
Okay.
Look at kid telling you how to run your contest.
Length doesn't matter.
Okay.
Jenna?
Joy?
Too long is too long, and too short is too short. I need just right.
All right. Kyle, you won the toss backstage. Congratulations. So you get to go first with your grito. It's based on tone, pitch, and enthusiasm.
And
right,
length.
Right.
You sure you don't want them to go at the same time?
I don't think length is that important.
JC said length.
Yeah. Okay. I think a lot of people say length is... I don't think it's
not.
Size? Right.
You know what?
Yeah.
All right.
If the girl says it matters, it matters.
Are you ready, Kyle?
I believe I am.
All right.
You might want to hold the phone a little bit away.
Yeah, give it all you got. This is for,
make it sound good.
Hold the phone away. This is for a trip to Mexico. Here goes Kyle.
Okay.
All right. He's done. That's it.
that all you got, Kyle?
No, it's not all I got, but I got horse.
Yeah.
You got horse?
I got horse.
You already horse.
You're not going to do well in Mexico, dude.
We might call you back for our chicken contest.
Okay.
Chicken contest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Joy?
Yes.
You have to beat that one. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm catching a little bit of a cold here, but I'm ready.
No excuses. Here we go. Here comes Joy trying to win the trip to Mexico with her grito. Go.
Wow.
All right, JC, neither of them were close to yours, but you know, come on, you're the master. So, well,
Kyle, you're my boy and everything, but yours sounded kind of like you were barking.
Yeah.
And Joy actually sounded like she was screaming, although she was in pain a little bit, but I'm going to have to give that one to Joy.
You got pimps.
Joy.
You got pimps.
Hey,
Kyle.
Joy. Hey, Joy.
I watched you got murdered.
Okay. You got Pimps up, Kyle. Sorry, though.
But he accepts that.
We love you, though, Kyle. That was a great try, buddy.
Good try, Kyle. Hey, Joy. Well, let me get Joy. All right. Joy, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Joy, you have just won the right to purchase one of these two trips. Here's Kelly to tell you about them.
Actually, kid, today, there is no choice. Right, you get what you get, and you love it.
Oh, it's our last trip. That's right.
Yeah. It's the last trip we've got. But it's a really great one. You're not losing out by not having a choice. It's the Moon Palace Golf and Spa, a 4-star resort located in Riviera Maya.
Oh.
It's a really great place for family trips if you just so happen to decide to pay extra for family to go. Luxurious spa for you. They've got the Jack Nicklaus golf course for dad or you if you love that. Several pools and a teens club for the kids.
Oh.
Although you don't sound old enough to have teens.
You. Sometimes why?
Sometimes why?
And thank you to CheapCaribbean.com for this wonderful four-day, three-night all-inclusive trip to Moon Palace Golf and Spa.
Joy. I know times are tough, but are you willing to fork over today's price, $3.41, for that trip to Mexico?
I think I can handle that.
She's taking the deal. All right. Congratulations, Joy.
There you go, Joy.
That is Joy Burdick, and she is going to Mexico, where she's going to perfect her Greedo. One more time, Joy. One more time.
One more time with my Greedo?
Yeah.
I'm a Greedo.
Get more confident.
One more time, JC.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
And we're back. Kid Craddock in the morning. Now the moment we've all been waiting for, as promised, right on the dot time-wise, dude.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Works out like that.
It's an article that I found on an airplane, and oh, wow, this is really good. And then I forgot about it. You know, I always do that. I'm like, because we're working like 24 hours a day, kind of. It's like, oh, I saw this. I want to talk about this or this happened. I got to remember it and then you forget. And luckily, one listener just happened to send this to me.
Okay.
I guess they kindred spirits. He knows that that's how I think, too, or I would like this. It's the three gigantic mistakes we make raising our kids.
All right.
I just like to say guilty, guilty, guilty. But here we go. You've heard the phrase helicopter parenting.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's when mom and dad are controlling every single aspect of their kids' lives. There's a dad in Vermont who really lives up to the label. He built a camera-mounted drone helicopter to follow his fifth grader to the bus stop.
Oh, my.
He wanted to make sure his son arrived at the bus stop safe and sound. By the way, the bus stop is 400 yards from his house.
Okay.
But dad said it's better to be safe.
That's okay.
Why did dad walk him then?
So, yeah, when this story came out, everybody's like, why don't you just walk? You're just lazy. Why don't you just walk the kid to the bus stop? And then the other great one is, okay, so you'll be 400 yards away and you can watch on your iPhone as your kid gets abducted.
Yeah.
What good is that going
to
do?
But he doesn't get to play with his cool helicopter toy.
I think that's what it is.
That's
yeah.
all it is. Yeah.
We all want the best for our kids, but research is now showing that our overprotective, overconnection style has damaged our kids. Three huge mistakes we make leading this generation of kids and how we can correct them. Number one, we risk too little. We live in a world that warns us of danger at every turn. Toxic, high voltage, flammable, slippery when wet, steep curve ahead, don't walk, hazard. We have become irrationally fearful of losing our kids. So we put knee pads on them, safety belts, helmets, and that's at the dinner table. But it's true. We've insulated our kids from risk.
Yeah, that's
true. If you're over 30, you probably walked to school, played on the monkey bars, and did a high dive at the public pool.
Mm-hmm.
If you're under 30, you probably haven't done any of those things.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Jenna and JC.
Yeah.
Okay. Walked to school.
Yep.
Yes.
Played on the monkey bars.
Yep. Yes. I used to do the cherry drop.
Okay.
Where you drop and do the flip and fall down.
Ooh, I can do
that. Maybe the two of you are an anomaly and didn't have the helicopter overprotective parents. The question is, has the world become that much more dangerous? Is this all a reaction to a dangerous world?
I think so. I mean, you don't see kids like playing in the street like you used to back when I was.
Playing in the street's probably a bad idea.
Has it really changed that much, though?
People are just more fearful.
Right.
Listen to this. Statistically, you are safer as a child in the U.S. today than you've ever been in the history of our country.
That's because you're not allowed to play in the front yard anymore.
But our society has created huge fear about letting kids be independent, and the consequences are serious for our kids. Because overprotecting them has an adverse effect on them. Children of parents who are risk adverse have lower test scores and are less likely to attend college. But adults continue to say, get the monkey bars off the playground. They're too dangerous. And you know what? Teachers don't use red ink because it hurts their feelings.
Red is negative.
And listen, if you don't mind, stop using the word no so much in class. There was actually a school that limited the amount of times a day a teacher could say no.
Are you serious?
Wow.
I'm sorry, but we are failing miserably at preparing them for a world that will not be risk-free. Psychologists in Europe had discovered that if a child doesn't play outside and isn't allowed to get a skinned knee or broken bone, that they're way more likely to develop phobias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're afraid of what you don't know. Interviews with young people who've never played on jungle gyms reveal that they're fearful of normal risk. The truth is, kids need to fail a few times to learn it's normal.
I mean, the best thing as a kid, you know, like when you're skateboarding and you fall down and you skin your entire face and you know, before it happens, you're like, that would be the worst.
Yeah.
And it happens. It's like, I skinned my face. It hurts a little bit. And then it's gone in a week. Or you get
takes us back to a controversial moment on the show. Remember when?
When you knocked your child to the ground.
Yeah. My daughter was learning to rollerblade. She's 7 and she's really tentative and cautious and slow. And I'm like, it's not going to hurt. You have knee pads, shoulder pads, wrist pads, helmet.
It hurts for a second, and then boom.
So finally, I just tripped her.
Yeah. That's fine. Or when you get your first black eye, you get your first black eye, and it's like, okay.
I wasn't getting into
not too bad.
But I was an only child, and surprisingly, I found that a lot of parents of only children are, you know, they are helicopter because it's their only one, and they don't want them to leave. And mine were very hands-off and kind of let me learn, okay, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
But I used to ride my bike around naked all the time.
Yeah.
My mom would just let me do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I fell and skinned my whole body, and I never did it again.
There you go. You learn.
Mm-hmm.
Teens need to break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend to appreciate heartbreak and the emotional maturity that it takes to have a lasting relationship. But as parents, we seem to do everything in our power to steer our kids away from anything that might cause them the least amount of pain.
Yeah.
Bad idea, because pain is actually a necessary teacher. Think of your body for a minute. If you didn't feel pain, and there's a girl living somewhere I've seen on the news who feels no pain.
Yeah, and she's...
Like, it's terrible. You would have no idea how to avoid pain. You'd have no idea how to minimize it. Pain is a natural part of health and maturity. Psychologists are discovering a syndrome with teenagers called high arrogance, low self-esteem. They're cocky, but deep down, their confidence is non-existent because they've never tried anything. They've been shielded from failure. Studies show that as teenagers, we take more risk, right? Isn't that when you take the most risk in your life is when you're a teenager?
Probably so,
You try stuff. It's natural. But it's not happening anymore. We test boundaries. You know, when we were growing up, we test boundaries, and we find our identity through these years of trying things that work and trying things that don't work. Our failure to let our kids take risks explains why there's so many people who are 20 to 30 years old living at home with their parents because they have no idea how to take a normal risk. They're deathly afraid of it. So moving out of the parents' house or not moving back in with mom and dad after college is frightening to them.
But it's also natural for a parent to want better for their kids than they had.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's being safe, whether it's, you know.
And I'm going to tell you that attitude is the most insidious form of child abuse that there is. It is. It really is.
That's a little extreme.
Here's the second one. If you think of the consequences of raising a person who's not capable of dealing with the real world, that's child abuse.
I know, but I've got a friend that, like, her son doesn't even know how to order a pizza for himself.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Because she's, I take care of my kid.
Yeah. Number two is we rescue too quickly. This generation hasn't developed the life skills that we have because we take care of all their problems for them. We remove the need for them to overcome problems. Colleges are seeing more and more kids who've never filled out a form or an application in their life. One college freshman got a C- on her project and immediately called her mother right in the middle of the class, a college freshman. And after interrupting the class discussion with her complaint about her bad grade, she then tried to hand the cell phone to the professor and say, my mom wants to talk to you about my grade.
No.
A college president told a story that a mother of one of his students called him, saying she'd seen that the weather was turning colder. Could he please make sure that her son was wearing a sweater today? She wasn't joking. Rescuing and overindulging our kids is the most insidious form of child abuse. It's parenting for the short term, and it sorely misses the whole point of leadership, which is to equip our young people to be able to do this without us.
I think athletics are a huge problem, too, at least for me playing in high school, because once I got to college, my high school team was known for, you know, their D1 soccer and their D1 volleyball.
Yeah.
And then they had teams for everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, you need to try out and you need to make the team or you don't make the team and you need to fail and then find something else you're good at. Not, you know, you're not 6 years old anymore.
We'll get
not
to that.
Everyone gets to
play. That's in here, too. But you brought up sports. The author of this article says that he learned about conflict resolution on the basketball court with his friends. They had to ref their own game. They had to pick the teams. They had to get all butthurt because they got picked last or they didn't get picked at all.
Yeah.
And, he fouled me. He fouled me. I should get free throws. You know, all that. That's where they learned it. But now, you know who's refereeing the games? There's four moms standing there refereeing the games. If the kids are outside at all. If they're even outside. The fact is, kids like it when adults do so much for them. They love it. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't like having everything done for you? They learn to play parents against each other.
To an extent, yeah. I mean,
they learn to play the game. And that's what proves that they're smart enough to do things on their own. They just haven't learned how. Sooner or later, they know somebody's going to rescue them. So once again, this is not even remotely close to how the world actually works. There's right. nobody there to rescue you. So the second biggest mistake we make is rescuing them too early. And then finally, we rave too easily. The self-esteem movement's been around since baby boomers. At some point, we all decided that every kid should feel special, regardless of their behavior, regardless of anything they've ever done. You're awesome. You're smart. You're gifted. At the awards ceremony, everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. They all get ribbons.
Certificate now, of participation.
We meant well, but research shows that it has the opposite effect. There's a book out called Mindset that I ordered online on Amazon, and it talks about this very thing. It said that they gave a test. That they got two groups of fifth graders, Kelly, and they gave them a test. And afterwards, they didn't even look at the test or how the kids did. Afterwards, they just grabbed some of the kids and said, "You guys are smart. You're the smart ones." And then they had this other group, and they said, "You guys are the hard workers. You work the hardest, right?" Mm-hmm. Then they said, "We're going to offer both groups a second test, but you don't have to take it. You can if you want." All the kids who were told they work harder wanted to take the test. All the kids that were told they're smarter did not want to take the test.
They've already been
because
proven.
They didn't want to prove that they're not smart. They were afraid that they wouldn't be smart anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it would be the opposite. Like, I got this.
I need, yeah.
So then they said, there's a third test for the two groups, and everybody has to take it. The kids who were told they were smart did 30% less well than the kids who were told that they worked hard. So the bottom line here is that you praise about effort. You don't praise about your smart. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the worst part. Kids eventually realize that mom is the only one who thinks they're awesome.
Yeah.
No one else is saying it. They grow up, they get out of school, they start their first job, and they're getting yelled at left and right because they don't have basic skills. And they go, wow, maybe mom was lying to me all these years. Maybe I'm not awesome.
But all of the reports and surveys show that people like to get compliments. People
of course
like,
they do.
You know, I mean, if nobody else is going to compliment you out in the world, then you maybe mom should.
I was at a museum yesterday, a cool natural science museum.
Yeah.
And they, one of the things they did is they explained the EKG helmet. Where they can measure brain waves and stuff.
Yeah.
So they did this. They put this on a bunch of kids, and they came up with the conclusion that a person who grows up getting rewarded too frequently will not have persistence. Because if the reward isn't there, they won't even try. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Think of your dog. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it for a treat, but if you stop giving them treats, they're going to be less likely to do it.
So don't reward good grades. Don't give them...
No, don't reward too frequently.
Yeah.
Because I remember...
If you constantly tell kids how great they are and all evidence points to them not being great, what do? They need to cheat or exaggerate or lie, anything to avoid the difficulty of admitting that they're not awesome.
Because I remember being so confused when I was a kid, because my mom, I was expected to get B's and A's.
Yeah.
And she said, if you ever get a C, you don't want to see what happens.
Oh, boy.
But then I would have friends that would get C's, and they would get rewarded. Yeah. And I would be sitting there going like, man, if my mom said she doesn't want me to even know what would happen if I got a C, and these guys are getting rewarded.
Here you are getting like extra allowance.
Yeah, so I'm like so scared that I got to study, and I got to make sure everything's all right so that I manage a B.
If his kid is right, then your friend was getting the hard work reward.
No.
You know?
No, my friend
you
was
were
getting,
expected.
No, the friend was just getting rewarded for no reason.
Well, maybe this...
Who knows?
Maybe the friend was getting F's before, and now you got a C. Maybe
but when you do that to other kids, I guess it screws up the other kids when you're...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The way your parents and your kid could screw up another kid because...
They say to think of it this way. We vaccinate our kids against the flu and polio and the measles, and what is that? It's a shot that has a small dose of the actual disease that we're trying not to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? So we can build up a tolerance for that, an immunity to that. That's how we develop immunity. So we need to inoculate our kids with doses of hardship and delay and challenges and inconvenience to build the strength to overcome challenges. Like on the Kids trip, we're always talking about the siblings of the sick children
right.
and how they seem different than other kids. And it's because the parents are too busy dealing with a dying child, frankly, to sit there and coddle the other ones and tell them how great they are all the time. Right. And they tend to turn out to be better kids than then...
Well, they're very selfless.
Yeah. Bottom line, your child does not have to love you every minute. He'll get over the disappointment of failure, but he won't get over the effects of being spoiled. I'm going to say that again. Your child will eventually get over the disappointment of failure, but he will never get over the effects of being spoiled. So let them fail. Let them fail. Let them fight for what they value. If we treat our kids as fragile, you will raise fragile adults. We must prepare them for the world that awaits them. Our world needs resilient adults, not fragile ones. Can you disagree with any of that?
No. Just think that there's a fine line between encouraging your kids to do stuff and then telling them they're good at everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You should encourage them and tell them to try hard, but then it's the parents that are like, oh, you can do anything.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
And then people need encouragement. I mean, that's what gives you confidence. You might suck a little bit, but you know, sometimes you need someone. Hey, man, you gave it all you got.
Oh, keep going. Keep trying. Yeah,
yeah. How about honest encouragement? Daddy, was that good? Actually, honey, I love you, but no, that wasn't that good.
But let's work on it. But let's work on it together.
Yeah.
So let's work harder, because I've learned that if I put more effort into things and try harder, I can usually improve. Let's see if that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you're a natural.
But I think sometimes, too, the parent just has to accept sometimes your kid is wrong in a situation and you don't need to go marching up to the schools and getting in teachers' faces and things like that.
Right, that's
a very big problem. And like my mother, if I put off doing homework until the night before, she'd say, that's too bad. I would be up to 4:00 in the morning. She never saved me on stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it still didn't change the fact that I procrastinate really badly, but I have to do it myself. Nobody ever bails me out, you know?
Right. The best piece of parenting advice I ever got, I got too late from Dr. Phil, because my daughter was already 14 at the time, and it was hard to apply it then. I still tried, though, and it worked. And that is the phrase, I really hope you can do that. And when your son says or daughter says, I want to go to this, you know, everybody's going to Mexico for spring break. And you say, I really hope you can do that. Here are the things that need to happen for you to do that.
You need money.
And I really hope you can do that. So it's all on them, you know? It's not, it's not, please, can I, please?
Right.
No, here are the steps. If you want a bike, here's how you get one. And I really hope you get one. I'm rooting for you. I really like that. It makes it more of a team thing. We'll take your comments on this on my Facebook page, kidfacebook.com, KIDD. Facebook.com.
Very good
advice. And I'll post the article there, too.
Kid Craddock in the morning.
Closed captioning provided by
Kid Craddock in the morning.
We've been telling you we have a trip to give away to the MTV Movie Awards out in sunny California. Trip for two. And we did this movie-themed Instagram contest. We had listeners post pictures doing different scenarios, like a picture of you as if you had just been announced as a winner in a category, that kind of thing. We reposted our 11 favorite picks. We tagged each finalist yesterday. We said the first one to email us back wins. And we have that winner on the phone right now.
Nice.
Hello.
Hello.
What is your name?
Karen.
Karen,
what's your name?
I'm Kid Craddock. Hi.
Hi, Kid Craddock.
Nice to meet you. Karen, what's your last name?
Pearson.
Karen Pearson. You did a fantastic job with the Instagram contest. So good, in fact. And then you emailed us back first.
Yep.
You're going to LA.
Kidding me.
You're going to LA.
Yeah,
my word. You better. On earth. I didn't think I did, because I came home. I thought it was 6:00 instead of 5.
No, you got
okay,
it.
So I had.
Yeah. Then what happened?
And I had been to the eye doctor. My eyes were dilated, and I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my.
So I'm sitting on the pot, and I'm looking at the phone.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got to email this now. And I thought it was 5:20. I wouldn't make it.
I've just decided you're a handful.
Yeah.
Kabooyah!
Yeah. Kabooyah!
Yeah,
I'm outside. My neighbors think I'm crazy, I'm trying to get away from the dog barking because there's a baby in the house, and I don't want to wake him up.
Do you have a husband that puts up with you?
What?
Do you have a husband that puts up with you?
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
And do you
here comes a hot rod. Hang on.
Okay.
It's probably Justin
slow
Bieber.
Slow down. This is a kid neighborhood.
Yeah.
Probably kid neighborhood. That's pretty cool.
Probably Justin, Justin Bieber rolling by.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, going 100 miles an hour.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we have to get her on the red carpet
somehow. I think so.
She's funny. They will love you at the movie awards.
And you wear that dress.
My gosh, I still can't believe it. I've got to decide who I'm going to pick to go with me. I'm telling you, I think I'm going to have to pick my husband.
Yeah, you should.
Because my kids will fight over who gets to go.
How old's your oldest
But
kid.
I do have a little sweetheart that's going to be the next big thing, I think. Maybe I should take her instead.
Well, we need to stay
she's
focused
11.
Here. She's 11. Okay. And she's going to be a star someday?
Yes. Yeah. She's going to sing at the Musicians Woodshed in Austin.
Oh, wow.
April 12th.
Is she got, does she have a video posted on YouTube? We could check your daughter
out? No, but I thought maybe y'all did older children. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, it's any age.
It's open to everybody.
Yeah.
All right, well, whoever.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. I need to get her to do that. No, she hasn't gone that far yet. She blew her music teacher away.
Let's see how long she'll talk.
She blew her music teacher away the first time she came for a lesson.
So whoever, whoever you decide to take with you, I hope you have a fantastic time at the movie awards with all the paparazzi there and everything, taking pictures of you and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. They're not going to take a picture of me, are they?
I don't know.
Really?
No.
Okay. You do something worthy of it.
I'm going to be taking pictures of everybody else. Yeah. They don't need to take pictures of me.
Now, will you come back on, Karen, and tell us how it was afterwards?
Oh, my gosh. I'll be off that day.
Oh, stop. She's sweet.
What?
She's awesome. Will you come on and tell us how it was afterwards?
Oh, my goodness, I sure will.
Okay,
like the I Love Lucy back in the day, where she would climb over fences to get into people's
Shout
houses,
out.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I do that, you know.
Good.
I get right up in their face.
We like people like you. All right, hang on just a minute.
Good times. We also have a second trip to give away, too, by the way.
That is refreshing to hear from somebody who's like, into life.
She's cool.
Yeah.
She's cool.
She's excited about life.
She's a talker.
Yeah.
She's happy.
We have a second trip?
We have a second trip at kidnation.com, and you have a couple hours to still sign up, so go check it out on there.
Okay.
And we'll send you to L.A. so you can go watch the MTV Movie Awards as well.
Awesome. I'm getting mad comments on, not mad, not angry, but just a lot of comments about the gigantic mistakes we make in raising our kids.
Uh-huh.
And nobody's disagreed yet.
Okay.
That we have coddled and spoiled our kids to the point where we're not raising kids that are capable of being in the real world. And a lot of people said, I want to see that article. It is pinned to the top of my Facebook page, and I want to invite you to share it with someone you think needs it. You've hung out with their kids, and you think they need it. You can send this to them and just say, hey, I got a lot out of this. Maybe
you probably talked
too.
About them behind their back. Right. Yeah. He's not doing nothing but spoiling those kids.
How many? You know, do it with love. Don't send it and go, you need this more than anybody I know.
Or do the backhanded, just saying.
Yeah. Don't do that. But you can share that with whoever you like. It's on my Facebook page at kidfacebook.com.
It's Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Join us.
Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Say hello to the movie reviewer who's a bigger star than all of us. It is Gray Drake from RottenTomatoes.com.
Hey, Gray.
Hey, people call me a black hole, but I'll take star.
Hey.
I would never refer to you as that. All right, we got movies. We got, let's see, one, two, three, three movies.
Mm-hmm. We can count them or we can talk about them.
Are any of them good?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Good talking to you guys. Bye.
All right,
talk to you later, Gray.
Enjoyed
Bye.
It.
These movies all have something in common.
What's that?
What?
They are critic-proof.
Critic-proof, meaning it doesn't matter what you guys say, people are going to go see them.
Correct. That's why they were made, and that's why people are still going to go to the movie theater this weekend. And it's weeks like this that make me feel completely pointless in my work.
Yeah.
And so I eat ice cream and then do a Brazilian butt lift video.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I would be totally defeated after these movies, do business. We'll start with G.I. Joe, because I'm sorry, but G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra, it was great, but there were so many unanswered questions.
There are two things that I love about what you just said. First and foremost being that you just called G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra great.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, Retaliation, I think the tagline should have been, where knowing it's crap is half the battle.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it kind of like they're retaliating against us?
Yes, they are. But, I think this one's going to be number one this week anyway. One of our critics at Rotten Tomatoes pointed out something brilliant.
Hmm.
The reason that roller coasters are great is because they have peaks and valleys and flat parts that makes that huge drop really feel worth it.
There's a buildup before the crescendo.
Correct. G.I. Joe Retaliation has no such buildup. It is just one crazy action piece after another, and you get desensitized after a while.
So if you were to describe the plot of this movie only with noises, you might go,
Oh, listen in a crash, bang, boom.
I just witnessed a very intimate moment.
Now I know what it's like.
I want a cigarette now.
Actually, at the end of the movie, Bruce Willis comes on screen and goes, gosh, that's never happened to me before. I'm so sorry.
Now, I have a question. Did John McClane movie jump from Die Hard to G.I. Joe?
He did. And you know what? Hmm. It almost seemed like he made an imaginary pit stop at Olympus Has Fallen, because that movie was just Die Hard in the White House.
Oh, my.
This one is just, it's annoying. But, right. However, there is one sequence that is totally dope. I have two words for you.
What?
Ninjas, mountains.
Oh.
You had me at ninjas.
Right?
Is it the one where they're cutting the strings off and they're falling down?
Yeah, and that scene was so good, and the CG was so excellent. It made me feel like I had just been awakened from a coma.
Okay, next up, we've got Stephanie Meyer, the best-selling author of our entire lives, thanks to that Twilight series, and she's got her new movie based on her book, The Host.
This is an alien invasion movie, very similar to the Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
They come down, they take over our bodies, and the only difference is they make our planet peaceful. And unbeknownst to these poor, poor aliens, they invade the body of a teenage girl, and then they figure out how crazy us humans really are. Bananas! Saoirse Ronan is an Academy Award winning, nominated actress for a movie called Atonement.
Yeah.
She's the lead character in this movie. She's a feisty, feisty human who is part of the resistance that's fighting the aliens, and when she sacrifices herself to deflect attention from her group, the alien takes over, but it can't quite take her completely over, so she ends up being a teenage girl with two voices in her head, which is exactly what happens in real life.
Yeah. So she's bi-alien.
She absolutely is, and it's just as annoying there, too.
So I hear that in some of the scenes in this movie, like, she's one person, and she's got a boyfriend, and then she turns into the other person, and she hates that guy and likes his best friend. Is that right?
Right. So right, exactly, which is basically my high school experience in a nutshell.
I was going to say, she's like every other chick out
right.
there.
All right, our third movie is called Tyler Perry's Temptation. And the best thing I've heard about this movie does not have Tyler Perry in it.
Come on now, Tyler Perry has been voted the third best black in the world.
They couldn't find even one moment for him to dress up like a woman?
I think it's a missed opportunity, because I'll tell you what, I think every movie needs a little bit of Tyler Perry dressed up like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Think if he had been in The Host, wandering around that underground cave system. I know they would not be threatening people as much with guns, because Madea would have smacked them in their heads.
All right, this movie has Kim Kardashian, Brandy, and Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, this movie has a ton of people in it, and it's definitely the naughtiest of the Tyler Perry movies. I enjoy it when he starts to get a little dark. But if you've ever seen a Tyler Perry movie that's not a Madea, you know that you basically already know the storyline. There's some sort of great moral dilemma that the main character is wrestling with, and there's always a crazy white person in it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I hope someday to be playing the role of the crazy white in the Tyler Perry
not?
Movie.
Why not? In this one, you have a married woman who has an affair with a handsome billionaire. And then,
exactly.
And then everything goes wacky.
And she was in love with her childhood sweetheart that she married, but all of a sudden she starts putting like way more hairspray in her hair and wearing Christian Louboutin, and then just the rest is history. This one is naughty and fun, but once again, Tyler Perry movies are critic-proof. Everybody that knows they're going to see this movie already is not going to be swayed by the critics. It does not yet have a score on the tomato meter. But his movies don't do great, because they're not the most creative films in the world.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. That's why he keeps making them. They keep making a profit.
Yeah.
He's a machine and a great businessman. Yeah. And I actually got to interview the cast of this movie, and Tyler Perry and I were singing Otis Redding.
You were?
Really?
Talking about dark chocolate.
He's charming.
Showing you his checkbook.
Oh, yeah. I can see.
Now, we have to be fair to Big Al here, because here we are again trashing another Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah, and if you want to make a Tyler Perry movie more interesting, I got a tip for the white people. Go see it in the black neighborhood.
Really?
Because it will be a totally different experience if you go see it in the hood rather than going to see it at the Galleria.
Because the audience participates.
The audience participates.
No, you didn't!
Yeah, we talk to the screen. Now, you will have to see the movie two or three times to actually get the dialogue.
What you gonna do now? You done dropped your pistol when you climbed in through the window!
See, isn't that more interesting? I want to see it already.
I'm actually one of those people that yell at the screen.
Nice.
The critics in my screenings traditionally sit very far away from me. Mm-hmm. So I'm all over that. And Temptation has so many moments toward the end where I was like, oh, no, girl, no, she did not. Oh, no.
So you're the movie critic that yells at the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I can't help myself.
All right, Todd, get all your movie reviews. It's my go-to site whenever I want to see a film, either on DVD or in the theaters. It's RottenTomatoes.com. That is Greg Drake. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, y'all.
Now, more of Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Now.
On last night's episode of Nathan For You, comedian Nathan Fielder has some advice for a gas station owner. Nathan had this idea that the guy should lower the gas prices to $1.75 a gallon after rebate.
Okay.
But then say that the rebate has to be redeemed on top of a mountain.
Smart man.
Yeah.
The plan? $1.75 gas after rebate. A rebate will legally allow Daniel to advertise the cheapest gas in the country, and because it would be such a great deal, it would only be fair to make claiming this rebate a bit more inconvenient than normal by asking customers to drop it off in person at the top of a mountain.
Are you going to climb a mountain for $16? And Kelly, I know the answer is yes.
It takes an hour.
You're the cheapest person ever.
Yeah. And Kelly barely wants to walk around her block. You would not do that.
That involved exercising, though.
I think we figured out the only way to get Kelly Raspberry in shape. Hide money on top of a mountain.
Rebates.
She'll go get it.
No, I think it's the only way to get Kelly to not be cheap is make it involve exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to outweigh. I mean, is it really worth exerting myself?
I mean, that takes 2 hours out of your time to get $16 back.
That's hilarious. You took it to the level where you had a shuttle bus.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, really? I have to go to a mountain for $16?
That's just not even, that doesn't compute in my head.
The worst thing that can happen in a practical joke is when the people go along with it.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
You're supposed to be upset. So he kept adding on to it. He said after they got to the top of the mountain, they had to read some riddles and solve them.
Okay.
And then they had to sleep overnight on the mountain.
Of course. Nobody
did that. $16.
Nobody did that.
That's the first riddle. Who's stupid enough to climb a mountain and sleep over for $16?
Apparently, three people were stupid enough to do
that.
They
did it.
They slept over and they all became friends.
Did they wonder why there were cameras everywhere? Let's try this on the show. Not with gas,
okay,
with some luxury item. Let's say you're buying a big screen TV, and he hands you a piece of paper and says, I'm going to give you X amount off of that. If you'll climb to the top of this mountain, it'll take you about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Okay.
How much would you have to get off on the TV?
How big is the screen?
Yeah, how big is it?
It's a 60.
Oh, it's a 60.
Okay. How much do you want off to do that?
$500.
$500 off.
I'll do it.
You'd sleep overnight on a mountain.
Yeah, $500.
For $500 every day. Yeah.
I would probably be around the neighborhood of $300 or $400.
Okay.
You know, I need a TV. I got two at home right now, one for the picture and one for the sound.
Yeah. You guys are crazy. I don't even have a good TV, and I'd pay to not do it.
Kelly?
Well, see, I'm rich. So this doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, my God.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast, a condensed version of the show. Kid Craddock in the Morning.